you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Hi, I'm Jordan Harbour. The Islamic world was once the jewel of civilization. While Europeans were scratching the frozen earth with sharpened sticks, Islamic scholars were translating Aristotle and debating the circumference of the earth. The House of Wisdom at Baghdad was the seat of learning, a library in the tradition of Alexandria, and it was destroyed by the Mongols. Before we launch into Kevin Valbenesi's brilliant recounting of those horrific events, I have a podcast to recommend to you. The Chinese also experienced rough handling by the Mongols, so have a listen to the History of China podcast by Chris Stewart.
Say, you there. Yes, you. Off to yet another universe-splitting adventure with that Twilight Histories Corporation, eh? Well, in between leading humanity against those blood ape tribes or overthrowing murderous AIs, what say you relax with a bit of history from our own timeline? And without all the questionable radiation spikes that those massive time-splitting machines throw off. Does that sound up your alley, friend? Of course it does. Step right this way. I'm Chris Stewart, and invite you to come and join us over at The History of China. We've got it all. Come fight in wars with millions on each side, and learn why you should never get involved in a land war in Asia. Traverse the Silk Roads in search of fortune and even enlightenment. Drink Irog with Genghis Khan and his Mongol generals on campaign. Ply the seas on gigantic treasure ships with Zheng He. Experience the sumptuousness of the imperial court and its deadly backroom dealings. Or heck, settle in for a good old-fashioned Chinese ghost story. All this and so much more here at the History of China podcast. You're welcome anytime, no matter which universe you come from.
That was the History of China podcast by Chris Stewart. Listen and subscribe. And now, on to today's show, a short called House of Wisdom by Kevin Valbenesi.
You stand in the doorway of a small room, dressed in well-fitted dark robes, your sandals fastened tight around your feet. You wait on a man who has become a dear friend in these last few weeks, more than the mere mark he once was. Kneeling before a niche carved into the wall, the middle-aged gentleman touches his forehead to the ornate carpet beneath him before sitting straight up, raising his hands before him, his lips fluttering in barely audible prayer. You pace back and forth, but the sound of your sandals brushing against the dry floor does not break the man's focus. Instead, he continues his prayer, breaking somewhat from the prescribed formula. Instead, giving thanks to God and his prophets for a life among the shaded stacks of folios rather than the humid tents of the Caliph's armies. Finishing, the man rises and turns to you, a serene smile on his face, framed by a salt and pepper beard and long curly hair. He gestures to a small golden basin filled with water, but you shake your head. No, there's no time. Uthman, you say. We must go. Shaking his head, Uthman shuffles over to the threshold and takes up his sandals, fastening them around his feet. You take the moment to go and fetch your companions for this morning stroll. You hand Uthman a long saber, taking up an identical blade yourself. You peer out onto the street, and after letting a hurried troop of soldiers pass, you signal for Uthman to follow. Let's go. Emerging out onto the streets of Baghdad, you descend into the heart of chaos. Panic seizes the hearts of the citizens as families desperately attempt to fortify their homes, while others carry out what they can, fleeing in every direction. Some of the panicked throngs trip over themselves at the thunderous crashing of stones against the walls of the city. Even between the tall mud brick homes in the heart of the city, you can see the choking black columns of smoke rising in the distance as Hulagu's men deployed the thunder bombs which laid waste to Kaifeng. The Mesopotamian sun, the guiding light of countless kings and empires, vanishes behind the sulfuric veil. You seize Uthman by the wrist and hurriedly shove your way through the panicked masses, cutting through side streets. The cries of terror echo across Baghdad, with the lamentations growing louder and more numerous as you near the heart of the city. This metropolis, the crown jewel of the Muslim world, is being ground to dust under the booted heel of Hulagu. And there's nothing you can do about it. Not you. Not the Abbasid army. Not the caliph himself. All that matters now is to preserve what one may. Like Alexandria before it, Baghdad is an ark, varying the thoughts of countless philosophers, mathematicians, and poets throughout the centuries. But like the great repository of the Ptolemies, it too would be washed away by the tide of history. But as you rush through the streets, you hope in your heart to spirit away at least the slimmest fragment of the knowledge amassed by the Ummah. Unlike the doomed denizens of Baghdad, your efforts may not end up being for naught, if only Uthman will hasten his pace and lead you to the pearl you seek. Out of breath, but driven on by pure adrenaline, you stumble out from between the remnants of two spice stalls recently ransacked by the besieged of Baghdad. Finally emerging out into an open courtyard, you spy the luminous trove waiting just beyond the ring walls and the forest of palms which enclose the caliphal palace. Here too, the blameless masses surge against each other like great crashing waves during the monsoon. What few soldiers could be spared are mobbed as they attempt to control the crowds. Everyone is surging in the direction of the palace, seeking salvation from the Caliph al-Mustasim. Brandishing your weapon, you clear a path through the crowd, praying that you don't need to use the damn thing on anyone. Uthman, for his part, clutches his blade to his chest, not accustomed to the use of anything heavier than a kalam. You barrel through the crowd, sending them toppling in every direction. You reach the unguarded entrance and find that others have beat you to it. Looters carry out chairs, equipment, and artifacts with reckless abandon. You see an astrolabe tucked under one arm, a handful of leather-bound books under another, and even two men carrying off a stone sculpture of a lion. At the sight of the plundering of his sacred charge, Uthman surges forth, possessed with uncharacteristic vigor, swinging his sword like a madman, cleaving at the thieves. He manages to slice at a number of them, but most do escape with their ill-gotten goods, while yet more looters mass up at the entrance, arming themselves with clubs and knives. You charge forth, getting in between Uthman and the real cutthroats. Unburdened by stolen goods, you make quick work of them, carving out a bloody path into the inner courtyard. Then, from every corner, looters scramble about, carrying whatever they can out of this medieval repository of ancient knowledge. Their numbers are too many for you to handle, so you let most of them pass, though Uthman is less pragmatic than you are, hacking at the heels of the thieves as they escape onto the chaotic streets. You seize Uthman again, hurling him away as a few of the looters charge you. With some difficulty, you dispatch the looters and then help up the fallen scholar. You look him square in the eyes and offer but one commandment. Don't waste your time. It's lost. Uthman swats your hand away. He staggers back, beset with grief. His eyes turn to the arched doorway behind you, the threshold into the great chamber. As if in the midst of a hypnotic daze, Uthman shuffles forward, passing you without a word as he vanishes into the inner chamber. You check to ensure the rest of the looters have departed, and then you, in turn, join him. A fresh round of screams erupts from the streets, and overhead, just as you enter, you see a huge boulder soaring above before slamming into a minaret, cleaving it in two and sending the debris crashing out of view into the streets below. Yet more stones fly overhead, some of them leaving behind a trail of smoke and fumes as they go. The Mongols must be preparing for their final push. Any moment now, they will burst the walls and put an end to the glory of the Abbasid Age. You do not linger, understanding how precious the remaining time is. You pass under the archway and into the House of Wisdom. The interior of the Grand Library is rather like a workshop, more than anything, with sturdy benches and tables where instruments of optics, chemistry, and stellar navigation were once affixed. Now, everything looks as if the gates of Dis had opened, and a hellish gale had wrenched every tome, scroll, and implement from their resting places. The collected works of Hippocrates, Aristotle, and Ptolemy lay strewn across the floor, joining more recent treatises by Ibn Sina, Al-Ash'ari, and Al-Haytham. You could raise a civilization using little more than a single shelf from this warehouse of thought. But now, the musings and the findings of sages are scattered and disjointed, torn, trampled, and smudged where they fell. Uthman sinks to his knees, looking ready to turn his blade on himself. He cries out, cursing the nameless looters who ransacked this place. His malevolent words are in vain, however. Those who looted this place simply meant to carry off what they could, perhaps desperate to sell them off or barter with them. But those currently hurling stones at the city would see to it that this knowledge was completely wiped from the earth. Though, if Hulagu and his followers knew what was held here, perhaps they would think twice before setting the fires that doubtless rage throughout Baghdad at this very moment. The words set to parchment and papyrus here helped to make the Abbasid Caliphate the most glorious empire of its day. And should these treatises come into the care of the Great Khan, there would indeed be no end to Mongol dominion. But instead, the hordes of the Ilkhanate would eradicate it all with fire and steel. But that's one tragedy that might not be avoided, at least in this timeline. But you know better. You know that while Baghdad will fall this day, humbled alongside the caliphate it crowns, something else might be lost to the centuries beneath the city. No, beneath this house of wisdom. You know that Baghdad is merely the latest lair on this ancient and storied soil. Before Harun al-Rashid, there was Khusro, and before him, the legions of Arsacid and Seleucid kings. Further still, Alexander, Darius, Cyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, and Ashurbanipal. Mesopotamia had secrets, and many were buried, lost to the ages among countless wars, floods, and pestilences. But some survived, spirited away to shadowy corners of the world, or perhaps hidden in repositories by men and women who understood the value that they might hold for future generations. Perhaps from the earliest days of Lugalbanda and Sargon, secrets had been kept where the passage of time and imperial powers might not reach them. The Weeping Man before you is merely the last in a chain of stewards. He, like his predecessors, would convey those timeless and priceless secrets to every great city in Mesopotamia. Hidden in the well-guarded libraries of kings and emperors, these historians of the occult and obscure would ensure that the splendor of the ages would always be there for that time when mankind needed to leap forward. And now, Uthman would perish along with Baghdad, lost in the flames like the works of now-forgotten poets and philosophers. But word had reached you. Whispers of the treasure that lay beneath the House of Wisdom. This was a well-kept secret, but even men like Uthman are fallible, and a subtle slip of the tongue, or a breath better kept to a whisper, would echo across time and space, carried on by the superstitious and those with ambitions for something greater. Like the accursed tome of the raving Arab, or the scrolls dictated to Pythagoras by certain otherworldly geniuses, the rumors of the vault became a virus which propagated across generations, spreading until it infected you millennia later. A stray scrap of parchment found in the refuse of Elephantine was just one of many on display, deciphered in the most plain and disaffected language by translators too preoccupied with the minutiae of Egyptian life to pay it any mind. "Go quietly," it read, "and carry it all to Cairo." Those words took root in your mind and led you on an odyssey across the ages, until finally, you heard but a few words whispered by crafty men behind the back of Al-Mustasim. "Leave it to Uthman. He would die first before uttering a word of it." You would see if Uthman deserved such high regard. Clasping the blade tightly in your hand, you step on over to Uthman, picking up the saber he dropped in the delirium of grief. Standing over him, you utter just a few words, but they are enough to quiet his sobs and return him to the realm of the rational. "Open the vault." Uthman raises his eyes to you, red and swollen as they are. You feel a burning hatred from behind his hazel eyes, as months of friendship and mentorship melt away to expose your true intentions. His hand moves about in search of the sword you'd so recently relieved him of, and that same hand curls into a fist upon realizing that he is at an utter disadvantage.
"That is not for your eyes. Not now, not ever.
If not now, then when? Hulagu Khan will see to it that no eyes ever rest upon it again. Your secret will die here with you and all of Baghdad. Show me. Lock me in there if you must. But I will see what you've been hiding in there before it's all buried under the sands of time."
"If a man would destroy the world thus, then what point is there in preserving such knowledge for him?"
"Perhaps to pass it on, as your predecessors did to you." Show me now. Impart what wisdom you can. Because I'm telling you, Uthman, it's all lost otherwise. Uthman casts his gaze down. A long beat passes. And finally, Uthman stands, meeting your gaze with a mixture of hatred and exhaustion. He stands there for a long beat, and then, after what seems like an eternity, he steps over to a small honeycomb niche. Reaching his hand up among the affected infinity of the geometric designs rendered in gold and lapis lazuli, he presses a single finger into the center of one lotus-like design. You feel the ground rumble beneath your feet, and as you begin to feel the stones shifting beneath you, Uthman drops to his knees. He casts his hands and his eyes skyward, giving himself once more to prayer. You watch as the niche begins to peel back, revealing a cramped stairwell into the dark depths beneath the House of Wisdom. You brush past Uthman and stand at the top of the steps, peering down into the impenetrable darkness, dreaming of the secrets which await you below.
That was House of Wisdom by Kevin Valbanese. To support Kevin and the other podcasters here at the Twilight Histories, join us on Patreon and unlock a multitude of additional stories only available to our supporters. And why not fill out an application to join myself and Kevin for a week in France next year? COVID won't last forever. Why not have something to look forward to? We've booked a castle. Visit the website at twilighthistories.com for details. Before you go, I would like to recommend a podcast to you. Deep Into History is a fantastic show that has many of the features you love from the Twilight Histories. Storytelling and soundscaping. Here, have a listen.
After my first few episodes, some of my newfound fans called me a lore master, which was an honor and so epically cool. But the thing is, I desire to be known as THE Lore Master. So, this is the tale of the rise of an epic podcast that critics say is redefining a genre. The tale of a man who decided that his calling in life was to give a future to the past. The saga of Arjun, your Lore Master. Come dream with me as we go deep into our stories. If you think you've been taken to a battlefield before, I assure you, you're mistaken. So take a deep breath, let it out slowly, put some smoke in the air if you choose, and prepare to let your mind flow to my voice as we go deep. Welcome to Deep Into History, available everywhere.
That was Deep Into History. I recommend you check it out and subscribe. Last but not least, a number of years ago, I created a show that described what it would have been like to walk through the streets of Baghdad at its apex, and using first-hand accounts, how you would have lived through it during its fall. The show is called Fall of Baghdad, available only to patrons. Have a listen to this short sample.
Baghdad was to be built in the shape of a circle, a powerful symbol of harmony. At the heart of the circle, you would have seen the Caliph's Golden Gate Palace, a massive structure with a green dome that rose 127 feet above its superstructure. Next to this was the Great Mosque, an equally impressive building that showed the bond between this world and the next. Four wide roads radiated from the center of Baghdad. These roads were shaded from the intense summer sun by vaulted arcades, where you would find lively shops and bazaars, spices, colorful clothing, toys. This was not a city of black robes and veils. The main roads would lead you to a double circuit of walls.
That was Fall of Baghdad, only available when you sign up to our Patreon page. You can find it by visiting our website at twilighthistories.com. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thank you for listening to the Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.